Let us hear God's word. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Dear congregation, in the opening part of this chapter, the Apostle James gives a word of reproof for those rich ungodly men who, instead of assisting the poor, had oppressed them. And in giving this reproof, he foretells and denounces the judgments of God upon them. Come with me to verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you. Go to now, come now, think about this. Now, having addressed those men, he now turns in verse 7 to address the saints, particularly that they would understand the need of patience under their sufferings. As we shall see a little this morning, many of them were suffering because of those rich, ungodly men. There was the need of patience. Verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient under your affliction. Submit to God and have an eye to the future. They were to take comfort. The Lord will one day come. Rich, ungodly men would be punished. And those that were so oppressing them at this time would know just judgment upon them. And those that were being oppressed would one day be recompensed. Therefore, be patient, be long-suffering. The end is in sight. Well, dear brethren, let us be patient. Though we suffer in this world, there will be an end. The Lord will come. And we, after the judgment, will enter the heavenly world with Christ and enjoy such happiness and pleasures for all eternity. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, in speaking of patience, James sets before them the example of the prophets and then of God's servant Job. Come with me to verse 10 and verse 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. They were to consider and follow their example, and then take encouragement in the great and wonderful mercy of the Lord. What mercy was shown to Job? Dear brethren, God's eye is full of compassion. He will support us and he will bless us. Take comfort, though you may be oppressed. Take comfort, be patient, and wait on the Lord. I'd like us to note these verses, the Lord willing, not only this morning, but next week as well. This week I'd like us to consider a suffering saint, a patient saint, and a supported saint. A suffering saint, a patient saint, and a supported saint. First of all, then, this morning, a suffering saint. We'll note verse 7, but also verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now, James writes in verse 7, be patient therefore. Now, the Greek word which is translated here as patient sets forth the subject of suffering, for the Greek word speaks of being forbearing, be long suffering, be patient, patiently endure. And so we can see in the Greek word itself, we are led to consider the subject of suffering. Be long suffering, be patient. One is to patiently bear affliction. One is to suffer long or be long-suffering. And then come again to verse 10. Consider here the example of the prophets. For an example of suffering affliction. Consider how they suffered long. Consider how they patiently endured, how they were patient. Now James has particularly in mind at this time those poor saints who were oppressed by those rich and godly men. Well, here is a particular word for them. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, writes, he now diverted from the rich oppressors unto the poor faithful brethren that were oppressed. As we've seen already this morning, he begins this chapter by addressing the rich and godly men. Now he addresses the poor saints, and he exhorts them in verse 7 to be patient. They were suffering great hardship because of the hand of ungodly men. Now there have been those who have been made rich in the providence of God and have been a blessing to others. Take, for example, the first minister of this church here. What a blessing. In the providence of God, he inherited an estate, and it's been to the blessing of many. Rich men can be used for the glory of God and for the good of others. However, there have been many ungodly rich men, like we see here, who have oppressed the poor. Well, James gives this reproof and warning to such who are doing this to the brethren. Now note these verses again from verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. They had riches, but they did not assist the poor, as we see in verse 2. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. They weren't used for the assistance of the poor. They were just stored up, heaped up. Those rich men were covetous. They did not care for those who were in need. Note verse 5. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. Their eye was focused on their own belly, their own hearts. They did not consider the poor. They lived for themselves, for their riches, whilst despising those who were in need. They kept back certain things, like wages, that should have been given to the poor who were employed by them. Verse 4, behold the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. Oh, what those rich men had done. They'd employed the poor, but they had kept back their wages. In verse 6 we're told, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Through unjust legal process, they took from the poor, caused great hardship, and even death. Oh, what these wicked men had done in oppressing the poor saints. Well, think of these poor saints. They had suffered much. And dear brethren, there are many today who suffer because of the hands of ungodly men, because of the greed of wicked men. Just consider, some have worked long hours for little pay in certain countries of the world. Some have been robbed of their pay. Some have been falsely accused, brought before a judge, ordered to pay costs, and then sent to prison. This goes on. Some have even faced death. As in James' day, so today many are suffering, particularly in other countries of the world, because of the greed of others. Think of a suffering saint. And here we're thinking of the suffering saints in the day of James. Now consider again the example of the prophets, then that of Job. Come with me to verse 10. take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Think of the prophets, how they suffered. They spake in the name of the Lord, and they suffered for it. Elijah was threatened by Jezebel. Jeremiah was imprisoned. Daniel was cast into the den of lions. How they suffered because they spake in the name of the Lord. They stood for the truth. Many Christians have suffered for speaking the truth. Many have been threatened. Others have faced legal action. Consider at this present time the legal action that is being taken against the Asher's Bakery in Northern Ireland. Daniel and Amy MacArthur have faced much already. They've sought to be faithful to the Lord, and now they're facing legal action. Think of the prophets, and think of certain ones today who are suffering affliction. So many are facing difficulties in these days. Others in the past, like Reverend Samuel Lam in China, have been imprisoned for many years. Certain ones suffer so much in these days. Note verse 10 again. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Consider the prophets. Consider those today who are so suffering because they have spoken the truth. Let's move on now and consider the example of Job in verse 11. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Oh, what he suffered. He suffered the loss of his substance. Then he faced a heavy cross, the loss of his children. And afterwards he suffered great bodily affliction. What he suffered, yet we consider the patience of Job. Well, think of his sufferings a little this morning. He suffered the loss of his substance. And you one day may suffer the loss of a large part of your substance. And you may come upon hard times. Job was a rich man. The Lord had so blessed him as the Lord had blessed Isaac. But there came a time when he came to lose so much. And one day you may lose a large part of your substance. You may have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and the money is nearly gone. It's difficult financially. Job suffered the loss of his substance. But then moving on as we consider Job's life. Some suffered a loss and the pain of losing their children. What a veil of suffering that was for Job. And some, like Job, have lost more than one. What pain is known? What sorrow wells up in the heart? It is a painful path to tread. Many had suffered, like William Carey, the loss of children. It's a difficult veil. Think of the patience of Job in that veil. And then we consider, thirdly, his bodily affliction. Job was smitten with boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, we're told. Some sickness, some bodily affliction strikes. And one may find themselves in great pain, like Job did. It's hard to sleep, it's hard to walk, it's hard to think. Like Epaphroditus, as we considered last week, some become so very ill that death seems imminent. There is the path of sickness. We think of those who are suffering because of the hand of ungodly rich men. Think of the prophets who suffered because they spake in the name of the Lord. Consider what Job suffered. He suffered the loss of his substance. He suffered the loss of his children. And then he suffered great bodily affliction. There was a veil of suffering for Job, and there is a veil of suffering for us. Dear brethren, We may not at this present time be suffering because of the hands of ungodly rich men, but we may be suffering other things, as we have considered this morning. Dear brethren, we suffer in this world. This world is not heaven. We know that all too well. We're looking forward to heaven, when there will be no pain and sorrow. The former things will be passed away, but we live in a veil of suffering at this present time. We suffer. We face many an affliction. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, many, numerous, not just one or two, but they're many. And dear brethren, we're not surprised, are we not, when we suffer something else? Something else comes our way. You think of the weather. Sometimes it's clear, the sky is clear and it's calm, but it's not too long before the clouds come. And then there's another storm. Well, our lives are a little like the weather, are they not? Sometimes it's calm, but then so quickly the storms come. And they keep coming, and our afflictions keep coming. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. They're numerous. We have and we will suffer in this world. There will be certain sufferings which are common to all. We can think of sickness. But then there will be certain sufferings we face for the sake of Christ. Consider the prophets. They spake in the name of the Lord and they suffered for it. Philippians 1 verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Dear brethren, there will be many a valley on our journey to heaven above. Now, considering the sufferings that the brethren faced, James exhorts them to be patient. Notice verse 7. Be patient, therefore. And then verse 8. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we'll return to verse 8, the Lord willing, next week. But notice how he emphasizes the need of patience. And that leads us on to consider, secondly, more briefly this morning, a patient saint. A patient saint. Verse 7. Be patient therefore. Remember again the Greek word, and it speaks of patience as we see here. Forbearing, long suffering, patiently enduring. Now he uses an example there in verse 7. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. The husbandman, or the farmer in Israel, must wait for the precious fruit after the early and latter rain. There were particularly two seasons of rain, the early rain and the latter rain. And James is thinking of the husbandman or the farmer. He must wait for the precious fruit after those seasons of rain. He must, with patience, or as we read in verse 7, with long patience, wait for it. How patient we must be. And then consider the patience of Job in verse 11. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. And as you go through the book of Job, we learn again and again of his patience, his long suffering. You remember when he lost his children, he would say, the Lord gave and the Lord have taken away. He patiently continued. He endured. He suffered much, and though he was not perfect, as we see in the book of Job, he patiently endured. Dear brethren, we're not perfect, are we? But oh, let there be this characteristic of patience. Oh, dear brethren, read through the book of Job. Read the prophets and learn from them. Be patient. Be long-suffering. Endure injuries done unto you. Suffer in the belly. Suffer what happens to you. Endure injuries. Be long-suffering. Are we ever quick to murmur or complain? Are we rebellious in the veil of suffering? Do we murmur? Do we rebel against the Lord? Here's a word for us. Be patient. That's what is so important. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Wait. Patiently endure. Do you find it hard to wait? You men, when you come in, is it hard to wait for your tea? Do you go in and ask, is it tea time? You wander out and in of the into the kitchen and you have a discreet look and your wife knows what you're doing. Be patient. Young people and children, do you find it easy to be patient with your brothers and sisters at times? We need to learn patience. It's not easy. In a time of great trial, our patience can be tested. We're only men. At times we can have a murmuring spirit. Our patience can be tested. It's one thing to talk about patience when things are going well, when things are calm, but it's another thing to practice patience when we're suffering in the veil of affliction. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, wrote, "It is easier in a sedate condition to discourse of patience than to exercise it in a time of trial." We may be considering these things this morning. Yes, I'm going to be patient. That's what I am to do. But then the trial comes. It's not so easy. How important it is we seek to be patient. There may be a heavy cross upon you. We are to humbly endure. We're to submit to the will of God. You remember the testimony of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22, verse 42. "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Not my will, but thine be done. So heavy was the cross that was upon him. So deep was the cup of sufferings he was drinking from. "If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Though the sufferings were so intense, he desired the will of the Lord to be done. And dear brethren, when you are suffering, submit to the will of the Lord. Submit to God's will. And wait patiently for the time when you will be delivered. Listen to John Brown. "The patience of the saints is that grace whereby they meekly endure injuries and with a continual calmness of temper and submission of spirit to the will of God bear affliction and humbly wait for the accomplishment of his promise." Dear brethren, he will deliver you. That is certain. Wait patiently and consider the example of Christ. He endured much suffering. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2, verse 21. We have here the example of our Lord. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He's left us an example of how we are to endure in the veil of suffering. Dear brethren, look to him. Think of him who so suffered, how he went forward in that veil of suffering. "Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Turn the other cheek and look to the Lord. He will listen to your cry and in his good time come to your aid and deliver you. Listen to the testimony of David and also the testimony of Christ in Psalm 40, verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." I waited patiently. There was such patience found within his heart. I waited patiently. Look to the Lord. Submit to his will. Wait patiently for the Lord to come and help you. Spurgeon wrote, patient waiting upon God was a special characteristic of our Lord Jesus, as he comments on that verse in Psalm 40. Well, let this characteristic be seen in our lives by many. Let's seek to be more like Christ as we think of those words in Psalm 40, verse 1. Be patient. Here's a word for us. And you notice how James emphasizes this. We'll return to this next week, but notice verse 8. Be also patient. Verse 7, be patient therefore. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Let this be impressed upon you. And let it be impressed upon us. We are to be patient. When we think of patience one day, we need to be reminded of the next day. On the next day. We may be patient in one veil of affliction. We need to be reminded of it in the next veil we face. We need to be told again and again. Be patient. And the Lord said it to us again this morning. Be also patient. Well, in closing, let's consider thirdly this morning, a supported saint. A supported saint. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We are to be patient under our sufferings, and take comfort as well in the mercy of the Lord. You may be struggling. You may find it hard. Your patience is being tested. Consider the Lord's mercy, how the Lord will help you, how the Lord will bless you, how he will deliver you and bless your latter end. How wonderful it will be when we find ourselves with the Lord in glory above. Well, let's consider then a supported saint. The end of verse 11, and I've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job suffered much, but we see in the book of Job how he was supported by the Lord. Yes, he fell, but we see how he was supported and was later blessed. Dear brethren, we are supported. We read here, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And in that wonderful mercy, in that abundant mercy, he comes to our aid. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. See how he supported Job. Consider how he supports you and me. He is very pitiful. He is full of pity. He is very merciful. Think of his tender mercy. We read in Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He pities us, dear brethren. You're suffering. He pities you. You're seeking to be patient. He in pity will come and help you. When you are oppressed, remember, he who is rich in mercy has his eye on you and is full of compassion towards you. Matthew Henry wrote, his bowels are moved for them while suffering. How the Lord in mercy looked on those brethren in the day of James. How the Lord looked on his prophets. How the Lord looked on his servant Job. How the Lord looks on us today. And he looks on us with eyes full of compassion. He will have mercy. He will support you in the veil of suffering. He in a fatherly way will hold your hand, and further, he will defend you. You may be oppressed by others, but the Lord in mercy will defend you. Oh, rest in him. You are supported. You're going down a difficult path. You're suffering much, but remember the Lord looks on, and he will help you. He will support you. Oh, rest in him. Go to him this morning. He who is full of mercy. Remember, he is a refuge for you in the veil of suffering. You may be oppressed. Remember your refuge. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. He's a refuge for you. He was a refuge for those oppressed saints in the day of James. He's a refuge for you today. A refuge, a place you can go to. Oh, dear brethren, go to your Heavenly Father. Go to your merciful Shepherd. He's a refuge for you. In the storm, flee quickly to your refuge. And remember, he is full of compassion. He looks on with eyes of compassion as he sees you struggling, and he so desires you to draw near to him, for he knows that he is a wonderful refuge. He is a refuge for you. Oh, go to him, dear brethren. He is full of compassion. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning. You wake up on the next day and you're still in that veil of suffering. Remember this. His mercy is so full and it lights on you. Dear brethren, look to him and wait patiently. We think then of a suffering saint. We will suffer. We think of a patient saint. Oh, we need to be patient whilst we are suffering. It may be a long veil of suffering, but remember, it will come to an end. We think of the difficulties that face the church in these days. Remember this, the Lord one day will come. He will act, he will deal. And what a wonderful eternity will then await us with the Lord. Be patient. How important it is to be patient. But then take comfort. Whilst you are seeking to be patient in the veil of suffering, the Lord is full of mercy. He has mercy on you. He will continue to look on you each and every day, and he will support you. Think of the example of the prophets, how they were supported. Think of Job, how the Lord had mercy on him. Well, here is the word this morning. Be patient, therefore. Lord willing, we'll return next week to verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Dear brethren, this morning, be patient and look to the Lord. May the Lord help us, for his name's sake. Amen.